Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Look, we got a monster night tonight, all right? We'll get to our headlines here real quick. We got a monster night tonight in sports, but we got to get to the task at hand, the news at hand of the day. And your headlines are brought to you by Doral Kia. You always pay less with your Pricito at Doral Kia. Visit us at Doral Kia or DoralKia.com. Tonight, you got the Fiesta Bowl, all right? We're canes out. We're decked out. Hurricanes, Ole Miss. Tonight, 7:30, countdown to kickoff begins at 3 p.m. on FM 104.3 WQAM. The Heat, they take on the Bulls at 8 o'clock. That's on AM 560, and the Panthers take on the Canadiens. After that, we were talking like GMs as the middle of last hour, when we were talking about the GM list getting sliced down to four, and then we're like, you know, it's a little weird. You're going to interview a friend of John Harbaugh, and we're just leaving McDaniel hanging in the breeze and not like... A minute later, Schmeath and Schmolnick, I thought he was trolling us here for a second. He's like, McDaniel fired! Mike McDaniel was fired as head coach of the Miami Dolphins. I'll give the statement one more time here from Stephen Ross for those who are just joining us, just tuning in. But this was Stephen Ross. He said, after careful consideration, that's not how you say that word, after careful evaluation and extensive discussions since the season ended, I have made the decision that our organization is in need of comprehensive change. I informed Mike McDaniel this morning that he has been relieved of his duties as a head coach, and then he gives him a lot of pleasantries. So the Dolphins have moved on from Mike McDaniel as their head coach. Omar Kelly's going to join us later on this hour. We'll talk to him about that. We'll get to some of your calls here in just a second. But obviously crazy. You know, it is another moment after 4 years, Mike McDaniel. Now, a lot of people on Monday were sitting here because there was a report from Ian Rappaport that, oh, McDaniel, he wasn't, you know, the tone was that everybody was feeling that the Dolphins organization was going to stick with McDaniel. And it's one of those things where I was like, all right, but what if things change in this whole GM process, right? And I get people who will be like, oh, the Dolphins left Mike Daniel out to dry to that end of press conference. Like, look, you either fire him right after you do a Raheem Morris where you're going to fire him right off the podium. I genuinely think the Dolphins are probably thinking to themselves, let's just see what's out there. Let's let this all play out. They got to it very quickly. They got to the GM thing very quickly. The playoffs even haven't even started yet. And I think in the midst of all this, we saw the Chad Alexander thing was an interesting Easter egg in all this, because the Dolphins had basically put out their list of candidates. There were a lot of 49ers guys on there. This John Eric Sullivan, the dude from the Eagles, who looks like he's 12. They didn't go with him. They're probably like too many Ivy League guys. I think they're actually all Ivy League guys. They're all very smart.
He went to Harvard, right? Harvard.
Yeah, he did go to Harvard.
Okay.
But after that was happening around 5:30, I think it was, on Tuesday, we get that news that Chad Alexander was going to get an interview. And it's like, oh, what are his ties? Oh, well, he's the assistant GM for Jim Harbaugh. Oh, and also he was working with John Harbaugh back in the day. We're like, oh, really? Right as the Harbaugh news was breaking that he's fired? Convenient. And so the Dolphins had to do this whole song and dance yesterday of like, oh, we haven't reached out. And they're still saying they haven't reached out. They haven't reached out. Troy Aikman might have reached out. I don't know who's reached out. Someone's reached out,
Dan,
dude.
Dan Marino probably reached out.
Dan Marino probably reached out. Somebody reached out. Did the Dolphins? No, but I'm sure through liaisons and back channels, they found out, hey, Harbs, you want to come on down here? And by the way, I think it's hard to keep up on what's real on Twitter or not, but I think his daughter plays lacrosse at USF. So, like, some people in Tampa speculate, oh, Todd Bowles is out. Well, Todd Bowles is staying. So, what's this close? Right here. He can be right close to his baby girl playing lacrosse. So
5 hour drive.
Feels like with the relationships that Stephen Ross has had with the Harbaugh family, he's obviously Michigan's like one of their, if not their biggest booster. And the previous pursuits of the family, yeah, it's a pretty obvious tie down here. The only thing that I would say if you're Harbaugh is like, do I really believe we can clean it up down there? But if you're going to get your handpicked guy to get the job, then all of a sudden it looks a bit more attractive. For Mike, go ahead.
Vlad. I'm saying what you're saying is right, but does now that make everybody else that want other teams that want Mike John Harbaugh, they're going to, you know, give him pretty much anything that he wants now? Because you got to, what you're saying is everything's kind of lining up for him to be the coach of the Miami Dolphins, especially if they get the GM that used to work with him. But there are other things that are, you know, if other teams who have similar situation or better situations. You know, Miami doesn't have a quarterback.
No, that's 100% true. I would say, though, one of the things that these guys and these maniacs like, and this is why Sean Payton liked going to Denver, is you get to just build it how you want to build it. And the thing with the Giants, now maybe if they feel like they're going to get John Harbaugh, it comes down to keeping Joe Shane. Maybe that this is like the line of demarcation where they let go of the GM. But they still have a GM in place, and he may not want to – maybe John Harbaugh wants to – work it with his people and make things happen. So I think that it's pretty obvious where this is going. But we'll see. We'll see. There's a lot of dominoes that have to fall, obviously, with all this. Let's get to some of your calls. Ricardo, what's going on, man? You guys can call 305-567-0560. What's going on, Ricardo?
Not much, folks. Good morning, everybody. How we feeling?
Good morning.
Feeling good, buddy. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And before I give my feelings on McDaniel's firing, I suppose. Topes.
Yes.
I love you.
I love you.
But I got to give you a minus one.
Why?
For 5 to 6 years of us having to listen to that god-awful hour two or two.
Wow, that's fair.
I'm going to go ahead and say you're welcome. I petitioned for it to get off.
You didn't minus petition. One.
Appreciate it, JPEG.
She didn't petition. You demanded it after the Colts game.
You're right, which is better.
Hold on.
You're welcome.
And you want to know something? I'm sorry that I was loyal and I tried to stick it out. It just got to a breaking point where the fans were revolting and we had to go through with it.
No,
I'm sorry.
That's not your fault. It's not your fault.
Well, Tua and McDaniel, they went hand in hand with each other, so, you know. But, honestly, I would have rather he had gotten another shot, if I'm going to be honest, at least one more year with someone new, a new QB, a new system, a new year to learn everything and to get it right, rather than 3 weeks out of the last season of you guys missing the playoffs, which we missed like halfway through the year anyway.
Yep.
I didn't think it was a fair shot for McDaniel, considering the fact that we knew what Tua was and all his flaws and, you know, everything that crumbled underneath him, as we saw. As I'm going to try to get my best Leroy analogy to that. Mike McDaniel was the girlfriend in a toxic relationship saying, after seeing all those red flags, oh, I can fix him. And that's what led with Tua. But on the other hand, like I said, they go both ways. So
yeah, but
Tua's out, as we saw.
But here's the thing.
McDaniel's
gone
too.
This is what I would say to that, right? People want to do the relationship thing. This is also like if you've nobody would ever look at you twice at a bar and get a relationship. Like also. So also the fact that Tua fell in love with you and you're like, oh, I love you. No, I love you. You don't get to have a pass now all of a sudden. If you're in a marriage, you got to deal with the flaws. That's marriage. You got to love everything about a person. So if Mike McDaniel never got looked twice because he was Shanahan boy, and didn't even get to call plays, and the only person that would look at him twice at a bar was Jeff Wilson. Sorry! Tua was his guy. For better or for worse. That's a marriage, dude. It got to for worse. Two for worse. And your side piece, Quinn Ewers? He stunk too.
Not the side piece.
Sorry! He'll get another. Look, he's going to get a chance. I'm sure he's going to get as many offensive coordinator interviews as John Harbaugh gets head coaching interviews. I'm sure everyone's going to want him razzle-dazzle. No pressure to be the leader. No weekly press conferences. No him being the voice of the team. Just calling up cool-ass plays. And if Mike McDaniel's going to land on his feet just fine. Can he lead an organization? I don't think so. But that's okay. Other great coaches who are great coordinators all the time couldn't do it. Vic Fangio, one of them. Revolutionary defensive mind. He stunk as a head coach too. Now he'll blame COVID, but that's what the old do. The old love blaming COVID. They do love blaming COVID. You can't say that they don't, Vlad.
It did happen.
I mean, it did happen. It did
right.
Happen.
I mean, you say that they're like, you're blaming something that never happened. It did happen. Like, you know what I'm saying?
It happened for quite some time, too.
Handsome Daffy, wrap it up here for us, man. We're going to get to Omar. What do you got for us, buddy?
All right, man. I just want to say good morning to all of y'all. And what I want to say is, Mama Toes, if you're listening, you're the real MVP for that text. No, I just wanted to say to the other caller who said he didn't want Harbaugh or Tomlin.
Yep.
People seem to forget we're in a cold weather division. They're used to building cold weather teams. This is where we lose. But every time we play a cold weather team, we lose. So it's like, why wouldn't you want them? And they have winning pedigrees.
Yeah.
So that didn't make any sense. And him saying we shouldn't celebrate. Yeah, I'm going to celebrate.
Yeah.
All day.
Don't feel bad.
I'm already calling people right now about that.
All right, Handsome Daffy. Thanks, man. We're gonna take a break. Omar Kelly scheduled to join us from the Miami Herald. We'll check in with him. We're back after this.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy here today. Hope Leroy's enjoying his golf. What a day to be golfing with the bazillionaires, right? He probably knew before we did. You know, he's got those Michigan ties.
Sources.
He's got those Michigan ties. He probably was like, yeah. Anyway, Well, maybe we'll pipe in with him. We'll find him later on in the program as well. But let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Job where 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com. Omar Kelly, Miami Dolphins columnist from the Miami Herald, joins us there. Omar, appreciate you hopping on with us, man, in this crazy day with
absolutely
Mike McDaniel officially getting let go. Now, I was following you carefully on social media, man. You kept saying, hey, man. Steve Ross hasn't said anything yet. He ain't said anything yet. As chipper as maybe Monday's or as confident as Monday's press conference went for Mike McDaniel, we get the news today. It's done. I guess what was your reaction to it? Surprise level, and what do you think about the decision?
Not surprised. Mike is a good man. Mike is a good coach. I don't necessarily believe Mike is what this particular organization needs, not only just at this time, but in general. We tried it Mike's way. We tried it the nice guy's way. Unfortunately, I don't think that works here in South Florida. And people who have had success have told me it doesn't necessarily work here in South Florida. You need a MF-er to make it work down here. And hopefully that's what the Dolphins are searching for. I knew that the Dolphins would not make a decision until they heard from all their general manager candidates, because the one mistake they didn't want to make is the same mistake they made the last time they searched for a general manager, which was to dictate to him what was going to happen and the terms of the game. And that's why they ended up with their fourth choice, because everybody else said, thanks, but no thanks. So they've learned from that mistake, didn't go into the situation of interviews with the general manager, basically coming with this formulated conclusion of what they needed to do. And ultimately, after they narrowed down the list of four, they decided to sit down with Mike, and they decided to let him go. The future, it wasn't fixable with Mike. And if we're going to do this, let's tear the Band-Aid off and let this thing air dry.
Do you feel like, was there a breaking point for him? Like, obviously, they marinated on a couple of days, but do you think that whether it was starting terrible again or just Tua, finally they realized it ran out, or once Chris got gone, what do you think was the point where they probably realized this isn't going to be the guy anymore?
I don't know if Steve Ross, the owner, realized this isn't going to be the guy anymore up until Cleveland. There was a just level of frustration anger, disappointment that came out of that Cleveland situation. And you could tell from then Mike's days were probably numbered. Then they go win the Buffalo game. Then they go put together a winning streak. But ultimately, they still finished the season poorly. And I have been told that Steve Ross was all out on Tua very early this season, and there was no turning back from that. And yes, Mike eventually replaced him, but this whole organization, this whole team is built around Tua. And Steve came to the conclusion that that was taking the Miami Dolphins franchise absolutely nowhere. And then when you watch Seattle and Denver and Jacksonville, am I missing anybody else? Rebuild like
New England.
This. No, New England. Rebuild like that. 2 years max on all of them.
Yep.
If not one for Jacksonville. You're saying basically, what the bleep? And that was, you know, and I've said this from the very beginning. This organization needs a scorched earth cleanse, a nuke it, let all the grass die, and see what comes up from the earth. It's like cancer, man. You can't leave anything behind because it's gonna grow roots again and just infect the body. This organization has poor, is an understatement, culture, and it's not Mike, it's not Brian, it's not Ireland, it's not Tannenbaum, it's not Gase, it's not Hickey, it's not Sperano, it's not Parcells, it's not Ross, because what does he do outside of writing checks? They just need to start fresh.
Do you feel like Harbaugh's the obvious guy they're gunning for, or do you feel like is there somebody we're not seeing that will be this? Because the GM thing, I guess it's being reported they're going to try and finish that thing up, I guess, this week. And do you feel like the GM is going to go hand in hand? Like, it's going to be a guy that person works with. Are they out on first time coaches? What do you think that they're what do you think is their strategy here?
Steve Ross has an obsession with first timers, and he has flat out told me that he believes there is a level of loyalty and work ethic that comes with first timers and people you give that opportunity to that I don't think he can let go. And this works in all of his businesses. However, the definition of insanity is keep doing the same thing and expecting different results. And I think that Steve has basically come to the approach or mindset that I need to do different than what I have done in the past. So if I have gone with a first-time coach, I probably don't need to do that this time. I think he's gone with how many first-time coaches?
Four?
Philbin, Gase,
Flores,
McDaniel.
Yeah.
So that's four. Four.
Yeah.
And
he inherited Sperano.
Learned something from that.
Yeah.
Just a guess. What was the question again?
Do you think this is going to be all centered on Harbaugh first and foremost, or do you think they got some other ideas maybe in the fold?
I don't want the Dolphin fan to get all obsessed about Harbaugh. You shoot your shot. You let everybody know these are the terms. Ross loves his reputation as a big bidder, big spender, because it always, in his words, and this is his quote, gets him a seat at the table.
Mm-hmm.
So they will have a seat at the table. But I think you got to move really quickly off Harbaugh if he's not interested, because, you know, it's a black eye. Harbaugh is not going to be the only very polished, talented candidate that's out there, in my opinion. I think there are going to be some people who get fired within the next 2 weeks after playoff performances or force their way out of their situations. Because keep in mind, it's not always about the firing. Sometimes it's about, I got 2 years left in my contract. What you going to do? You going to pay me? You going to pay me at the rate of what my peers are making? No? All right, then let's keep it moving. You go your way, I go my way. So there could be some of those situations in Green Bay and in Buffalo and in Pittsburgh. And those individuals might interest the Miami Dolphins. I am not certain how this thing gets played out. In a dream world, it's Harbaugh because he is a culture changer. But can I tell you that Harbaugh is going to instantly make Miami relevant, dynamic, a championship caliber team? No, because there's so much that comes with that. Harbaugh got lucky that Lamar saved his job because I believe he was going to get fired in that 2020 season until he went to Lamar, and Lamar was dynamic, and that led to a really impressive resurgence. But look at Mike Tomlin. How long has it taken him to get a quarterback to replace Big Ben? He rode out the final years of Big Ben, probably keeping him longer than he should have. Doing the Dan Marino thing. No offense to Dan Marino and Dan Marino fans, but you know what I'm saying. You don't push out a legend. You even though the Dolphins pushed him out, you let him gracefully decide I can't play anymore, and that's what Mike Tomlin did. And yeah, they've drafted a number of quarterbacks, all busts. It is what it is. He's taking his shot with an old veteran team led by Aaron Rodgers. We'll see if that works. They didn't have DK Metcalf when they sort of fizzled out in the end of the season. But even if Tomlin becomes available, would he be interested in Miami? Right. Is Miami the place for him? And I would argue to you, this isn't a place for everybody. This isn't a place. If you like, Pittsburgh is a different culture than Miami. Completely different culture. I don't know if you've ever, Pittsburgh is metal lunchbox, steel toe shoes and hard hats. That's that culture of that city, the whole city.
That's the thing.
Miami is not like that.
That's also the thing that I'm interested with him, because we talked about this a couple of weeks ago on Game Day Uncensored, right? And I'm like, I don't know how his age can't affect his decision making at this point, right? Like, you already got your son, Stephen Ross's. Because, like, you got your son-in-law sitting there, and all of a sudden you're going to slide in here and get – no, like, I feel like this just sets up for him doing something reckless. Like, as much as they need something clean, cleanse, I could see him doing something like –
What has he ever done that's reckless, though?
It's
funny you say that. What has he ever done that's
reckless? I mean, he got busted tampering for Tom Brady. He got busted tampering for Sean Brady. Like,
everybody tampers in the NFL.
He's the only one who gets caught, though.
He's good at it.
Yes, that's the point. Like that connotes recklessness when you get caught.
You know, you tamper properly in the NFL, you hire a consultant.
Exactly, dude. You better get Troy Aikman to do it.
Learn his lesson.
I'm just saying,
how many times do you have to get pow-pow'd before you learn how to do business in the NFL?
I'm just wondering if he goes like calls up whom at one of these disgruntled quarterback franchises, or trades all the way up to get Fernando Mendoza. Like, I don't think he's waiting. I feel like it's like, hey, we're bringing in big name coach. I'm doing it Big Ross's way. I'm going out here and I'm going out swinging. Yes.
Interesting. I think the only thing that I can say is I think he's learned from his mistakes of the past.
Okay.
And the tampering, the hiring of a consultant, man, if probably Roger Goodell sat him down and said, and he in a meeting, and he said, bro, you punished me for everything that everybody else is doing. And Roger Goodell basically looked at him and said, you know, you're not getting punished for that. You know what you're getting punished for. And it was like, all right. And then Roger Goodell was like, if you want to tamper, go get you a consultant.
That's right. How
everybody keep your hands clean, brother. It was like he was out there selling dope by him on his own. Like, it's in his text history. Come on, man. You get a burner. What are you doing? But anyway.
Stephen Ross just learns to text broccoli. He goes, it's code.
Yeah, I got to go grocery shopping.
Puts it in air quotes, though.
Let's go grocery shopping in Pittsburgh.
He's still old. He's still putting it in air quotes.
Yeah. I think he's... This search, the fact that they have not contacted Jim Harbaugh yet before they removed Mike McDaniel, shows he learned from 2011. You know?
Yeah.
You keep it classy.
Happy anniversary, by the way, to the to the boardroom. Before we get you out of here, Omar, I want to go back to the Tua thing. What do you think it was that had Steve Ross out? Was it just him stinking? Was it words? Like, what was it that he was just like, I'm done with the dude? Because it's impossible that it's not tied to Mike. That's kind of what defined Mike, is that relationship.
I think the obsession, Steve has always been obsessed with a high-powered, high-flying scoring offense. He's like a fantasy football player. He wants offense, offense, offense. Well, in 2022 and 2023, they delivered that. 2024, not so much. 2025, definitely not so much.
Definitely not.
So, like, I think it was the Buffalo game that I heard, the first Buffalo game. And you're there. You see that you're not in the league with the division champions. And, yeah, you beat them later. But it's like, the quarterback doesn't look like he, you know, at that time, Tua didn't look like he looks now. So, but the quarterback just wasn't making plays, and the interception in the fourth quarter, you know, Ross is aware that Tua can't beat really good teams. He can beat everybody else. So, it's interesting to see how that I don't think the infatuation ever came back. I don't think the love, the interest, the desire ever came back with him.
Appreciate the time, man. Thanks for hopping on with us today.
All right, guys.
Go check out Omar Kelly's work. Follow Matt at Omar Kelly. Go read his work in the Miami Herald. He does a fantastic job, and appreciate him hopping on. Vlad, thanks for setting that up, man. We will take a break. If you guys want to get back in, we will take some of your calls at 305-567-0560, reacting to the news of the day that the Miami Dolphins have fired head coach Mike McDaniel. Already some new rumors percolating about him we'll get to as well. We're back after this.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on a lovely Thursday. Feels like a great night to move on to the national championship. Am I right, Canes fans? You, of course, will be able to hear that right here on FM 104.3 WQAM. Although today's radio show has been hijacked by the Miami Dolphins firing Mike McDaniel. Stephen Ross coming out with a statement earlier today that he is moving on. Vlad sent us during the Omar interview that the Browns are reportedly going to be interested in Mike McDaniel for their head coaching spot.
Leroy can't avoid him.
That was my first thought.
He was so mad. I mean, I've not seen Leroy that mad at a coach ever than he was this year. And now he may be stuck with him for another 4 years.
And by the way, that would show how bad Cleveland is.
Yes.
Like, you did see the fact that he can't win in cold weather.
Right.
And you play nothing but cold weather in that division.
And also, I just don't feel like he and Shador is like a great fit, just because Shador's kind of like improvise, tries to make big throws, like that timing stuff. I don't know. That doesn't feel like a match made in heaven. Now, if you're talking about believing in somebody, that I feel like he could have a great relationship with Shador on. But, he's got ties to Cleveland. This is Mary Kate Cabot, longtime reporter for the Cleveland Browns. So the Browns just added a new name to their coaching search. They already knew him well. Mike McDaniel, who was fired Thursday by the Dolphins after going 7-10. He was a receivers coach in 2014 under Kyle Shanahan, under offensive coordinator Kyle Shanahan. The Browns have long admired his brilliant offensive mind. And that's what I'm saying. Like, Mike McDaniel is going to land on his feet somewhere. And I honestly think that I'm sure he could be good just being an offensive coordinator. I do think that there were so many things about this job that it was too much for him, you know? It was too much for him. By the way, I told JFig this, Vlad, but you know what you got to do always when there is a firing and an official statement?
What's that?
You got to go boots on the gram, and you got to go to the statement, all right?
That's where the real feelings come out.
It is where the real feelings come out, when you go boots on the gram. And so I went to the Dolphins page.
Okay.
Clicked on the statement from Stephen Ross letting go of Mike McDaniel, and decided, let's see who's liked it, if anybody's liked it from the Miami Dolphins.
Tua?
Long behold.
No! God, that would be juicy. Austin Jackson. Dolphins.
Hold on. Now you see, this is where Vlad has to break things down. Oh. Tua Bone Gristle. Wasn't Austin Jackson upset with the previous coach? Wasn't he and Tua saying that they had to go through dark times with Brian Flores?
He did say that.
And then now you're going to like after the new guy that you, when he was hired, he was, oh my God, he's such a difference than the previous guy. Mm-hmm. Now you're liking that the fact that he got fired?
You know Let me tell you something. Tell you, though?
What's that, J-Fig?
The facts have changed.
The facts have changed. Also, there's a little thing. People sometimes aren't happy. I have a statement from Mike McDaniel.
He said something?
Yes, from the Miami Dolphins Twitter account. They have just tweeted out.
Did he run out of characters?
Is there ums in the tweet?
No, I'm pretty sure he brushed it. I'm sure he had PR brush this up for him a little bit.
For ChatGPT.
Okay.
This is what Mike McDaniel has said. This is a statement from the Miami Dolphins, quoting Mike McDaniel. Coaching this team and being part of this great franchise has been the honor of a lifetime. When I took this job, I had a vision of a team that was bonded together and played with passion and energy on the path to winning championships. I gave everything I had for that goal. I am disappointed, especially for the fans, that we did not have better results on the field. But I am grateful for every coach, player, and staff member who poured themselves into that vision alongside me. I'm grateful to Stephen Ross for the opportunity he gave me, a little-known coach at the time when he hired me. Most of all, I'm thankful to my wife, Katie, and daughter, Ayla, for their unending love and support. I love this game, the people, and the relationships that are part of it. I will forever cherish my time in Miami. That is a statement from Mike McDaniel.
I can't stand you right now, Vlad.
To win games, you have to win the game, not lose the game.
Don't lose.
Who really cares? You know, I would love to put a muzzle on. It annoys the heck out of me to verbally answer that question. That's not Mike McDaniel's way. What? I'm a big snack time guy.
What would Socrates say to that?
That a boy. I'm happy and I'm sad.
I'm happy and I'm
just happy.
Happy.
I'm just happy. Just happy. He's going to land on his feet just fine. Evan, what's going on, dude?
So you know what I cherish?
What's that?
I cherish Reuben Bain.
Yeah, dude.
I cherish Malachi Toney. I cherish Hakeem Mezidor.
Yes.
I cherish Keontae Scott.
Yes.
And I cherish ESPN all morning. All over this whole, oh, Miss, oh, we got to win for Lane Kiffin. We don't care. Everybody's rooting for them. Bah, bah, bah. You know what? I hope they had that on this morning at the team meeting and just listen to it. Just put that on because that's all Miami needs to go out there and beat the living you-know-what out of Trinidad Chimlis. And, oh, he's the greatest quarterback in sliced bread until he meets Reuben Bain and Hakeem Mezidor. And next thing you know, he's in the ground just like everybody freaking else.
Wow.
Go Canes. And that's the bottom line because Evan said so.
Oh, wow.
Love the energy. He's
with the Stone Cold, dude.
That's good.
How about that? Crazy, dude. That was...
By the way, that picture of Bane smiling scares me.
It really does.
I think it's beautiful and should be framed.
You
actually
think so, but you don't... See, we know what that smile means.
Are you saying I don't?
Well, you like violence. So, therefore, you know, you're going to co-sign that.
Correct.
I know what the violence he wants to produce. I don't think it's good. It's good as a Kane fan.
Yep.
But, you know,
man,
I feel bad for the individual who's going to get that.
I have
that
seen.
Pain.
They haven't spent a ton of time on the Mike McDaniel thing, did I?
They've been no, they
I mean,
have
they obviously
not.
Have the game tonight. So, I'm sure there's a lot of like, hey, we're pumping the game up. They want like the biggest numbers ever. Which they don't need to because, like, the Canes are going to take care of that. Everyone's going to turn in to watch this ass-kicking they're going to give them. But, you know, nonetheless, Who else we got? Ross, what's going on, Ross?
Hey, guys.
How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm going to miss those reactions from J-Fig whenever they play the press conferences on Monday. I'll miss that. I'll miss seeing her on that. And then I'm cautiously optimistic that maybe the agent has just said, hey, yeah, you know, he's interested in you guys so that we would go ahead and do this to drive the price up because there's seven other teams interested in him. And he really doesn't have any interest in coming here. But
the old Miami leverage
play. That's the only thing I'm worried about. I guess that's some beat down Miami Dolphins.
I get it, dude.
But anyway, man, go Canes.
All right.
See you guys.
See you, Ross. Bye. Take care, dude. He gets it. He's like, oh, I've seen this move before. Oh, yeah, we're very, very interested. $20 million a year for me as coach. That's how interested I am. Some stuff here from Jeff Darlington that he's tweeted. Long tweet. Yeesh. Sometimes we have too many characters. Some context into the Miami Dolphins' decision to fire Mike McDaniel per multiple people involved in the decision. Owner Stephen Ross met with McDaniel on Tuesday, and the outcome of that meeting left Ross very conflicted. He really likes Mike, quote, loves his intelligence and offensive mind. But Tuesday's meeting resulted in some hard thoughts. Ross didn't feel like the results were there despite the end-of-year production. Ross simply wasn't comfortable with moving forward with, quote, status quo. Which, of course, is what he said in his statement last year when he kept McDaniel and Chris Greer. He goes, status quo is not good enough. Would have been crazy. Now, Jeff Darlington continues on Twitter. Now for the elephant in the room. I'm told the Dolphins have not yet been in touch with John Harbaugh or anyone in his camp. People close to the decision are adamant that this decision to move away from McDaniel is independent of Harbaugh's availability. Sure. I'm told the Dolphins will conduct a head coaching search after the GM is in place, which should be in the next few days. Obviously, it could lead to discussions with Harbaugh. And yes, one of the GM candidates, Chad Alexander, is very close to Harbaugh. But people close to the situation tell me the decision to fire McDaniel would have been made either way. He also says, I'm told the Dolphins expect to make a decision on their new GM by tomorrow. They meet with interim GM Champ Kelly on Wednesday and the other three candidates, Chad Alexander, Josh Williams, and John Eric Sullivan, who flew to South Florida last night for in-person interviews that are taking place today. So we should know tomorrow who is going to be the GM, which will obviously give us a maybe a, if Chad Alexander is the GM, though. I mean, come on, dude. That seems if he's not, I think we'll have our answer either way, right? If it's not Chad Alexander, one would think, I mean, maybe he likes the other guys from San Francisco. Maybe he likes Champ Kelly. I don't know. But one would think if he gets the job, and he's highly thought of, by the way, hell of a resume, right? Like, he worked with the Ravens. Who are a great organization, great front office. The Chargers have had a nice little turnaround. He was with the Jets, was he not? With the Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson front offices, I believe he was with those.
Oh,
so,
with Joe Douglas? Yeah.
So, I don't, you know, everybody takes credit for the good things. Nobody takes credit for the bad things when they're in front offices. But, you know, we'll see. If he gets hired, feels very much like that would be leaning Harbaugh, you would think. So, there you go. Cleaning of house. Let's go. Is this Clayton? What's up, Clayton? Clayton, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
What's up, man?
Hey, what's going on? So, just wanted to say, like, a couple things. It's mixed feelings about the Dolphins, man. I mean, you know, like, we want them to be good always, so you don't want to see everyone gone, but, you know, it's time. You know, I was born in 94. The Marlins have tried to be bad most of my life, but we've seen them win two titles and no playoff wins for the Dolphins most of that time, so that sucks. But I'm looking forward to what we're going to do. You know, hopefully we get to put the full court press on Harbaugh and make some good moves. But most importantly, I want to give a minus one and a fix it, dude, to the Village of Pinecrest because our payroll got messed up and I don't get paid tonight.
What?
So I can't go out and watch the Canes game somewhere.
Minus one, minus one.
That is outrageous.
I don't even know if I have a button for that. Just yeah, for man, rat the last, bastardry.
The last two playoff games, we got paid on the opposite week, so I was like kind of, you know, tight. And then this week, I'm like, yes, finally I get paid the day before, and boom, no money.
Oh, that's a minus one.
Bum. Minus one.
Sorry, Clayton. Go Canes, though. I like that we have turned our attention back to the Canes a little bit, though, because that is Goosey's galore tonight. And
yeah, but here's the thing. The fact that Mike McDaniel's been let go.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we know Tua is probably not going to be the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins in the 2025 season. And the fact that Chris Greer was let go early in the year. Dolphins got what they want.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think there was a lot. Like, even the people who were trying to paint that, oh, Mike wasn't dealt a good hand. Dude, a lot of head coaches, like, maybe you just want to put that on, oh, because he had to deal with Tua. Like, that's why he got the job. He wouldn't have gotten the job if there wasn't Tua to fix. That's why he got the gig. Nobody else interviewed the guy. So I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, poor Mike McDaniel. He had to fix Tua. No, that's what his calling card is. That's what got him the gig in the first place, is they needed somebody after the whole Sean Payton, Brian Flores embarrassment. Plan B was, I guess we're stuck with Tua. We better fix him. And so they went opposite from a guy who hated Tua's guts, who loved him up, got him to be a capable quarterback, put up monster numbers, and he also got a Ferrari in Tyreek Hill, who went on and broke the franchise receiving record two straight years. He got record numbers put up. Hey, man, he was brought in with a pretty decent roster. A flawed, delicate roster, because it was full of old, delicate players. But a lot of first-time coaches don't get to come into that. A lot of first-time coaches got to come in and their teams suck. Gerard Mayo comes in with a roster that sucks. Brian Flores comes in with a roster that sucks. Mike McDaniel, he got to come in a little bit. He got to come in on third base. They almost got there, but the injuries caught up. They had flaws of winning in cold weather, and they really never beat a ton of good teams. Two wins against the Bills, that game against the Cowboys, those stand out.
The comeback against the Ravens.
The comeback against the Ravens early on. Oh, man, that's a game for all time. We'll always have that.
That was week 2.
It was a great, I mean, but Dominic, the comeback was crazy.
The comeback was,
it was
crazy.
It was a crazy game.
But it was week 2.
But that was in his first year, dude. His first year. He was not given a bad situation. He maybe believing in Tua too much and wanting to invest in him right away. All right. There's a flaw of that. He definitely had a flaw with how he couldn't separate relationships and the job. And seemed to have a little bit of trouble mixing that. And so I wanted to, I feel for him, but this is what you get with a first time head coach. You're not going to be good necessarily at everything right away. And so, and he had some big blind spots. Didn't work out, you know? Yeah, there was some way. Okay, it had a ton of defensive coordinators. Here's news, dude. He seems like he's rats off a ship on Weaver, by the way, who's got more interviews than he probably will for head coach right now. So, I don't know. I don't feel like he was given a raw deal here. He had 4 years.
That's a term.
That's a term.
Yeah.
That is a term.
That's a term.
You got losing record. The record got worse the last 2 years. Didn't make the playoffs the last 2 years. And some of the flaws that were always there only got more exposed. There are some Bennett. Okay, could he change his style this year to a run game? Guess what, dude?
A little too late.
This offense was not exciting with it being Achane or nothing. He's exciting, but this was not an offense that put fear into anybody. It wasn't. So I don't know why anybody would be like, oh, my God, the Dolphins are letting a genius walk out the door. He's no genius. He's a big snack time guy. That's what he is.
Snack guy?
That's what he is. He's a big snack time guy. But he's no genius. Take a break. More to come. We're back after this.